Hello there, and welcome to Grimm Reading, where each episode we read and review a Brothers Grimm tale. My name is Matthew Hughes, and with me on this journey is my co-host, Mr. Adam Field. This week on Grimm Reading,
The Fox and His Cousin.
So make yourself comfortable and prepare for a
Grimm Reading.
The wolf gave birth to a cub and invited the fox to be godfather.
Oh.
That's nice, isn't it?
It's nice.
That's lovely. After all, he's a near relative of ours, said she. He has a good understanding and much talent. He can instruct my little son and help him forward in the world.
Wait, what?
Oh, he's lost.
Fox is a relative of the wolf.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
They're related. I think they actually are. Now the fox, too, appeared quite honest and said, Dear cousin, I thank you for the honour with which you are doing me. I will, however, conduct myself in such a way that you shall be repaid for it. He enjoyed himself at the feast and made merry, and afterwards he said, Dear cousin wolf, it is our duty to take care of the child. It must have good food that it may be strong. I know a farm from which we might fetch a nice morsel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Morsel being...
food.
Chicken.
Yeah. The wolf was pleased with this ditty, and she went out with the fox to the farmyard. He pointed out the barn from afar and said, You will be able to creep in there without being seen, and in the meantime, I will look about on the other side to see if I can pick up a chicken.
Oh, they are going for chicken. Good choice.
Well, he's going for chicken. He said, Go in the barn and get something there. He, however, did not go there, but sat down at the entrance to the forest, stretched his legs and rested. Meanwhile, the wolf crept into the stable.
Whoa, wrong building, mate. You wanted the barn.
That's true.
It's gone wrong already.
So she's in the stable barn, the stable barn. And a dog was lying there, and it made such a noise that the peasants came running out, caught Cousin Wolf, and poured a strong burning mixture, which had been prepared for washing, over her skin.
What? A burning mixture?
A burning mixture.
They wash in a burning mixture.
They do. They're tough, these peasants.
Oh, but they're putting it on the wolf.
Yeah.
This is awful.
At last she escaped and dragged herself outside. There lay the wolf, who pretended to be full of complaints, and said, Ah, dear cousin wolf, how ill I have fared. The peasants have fallen on me and broken every limb I have. If you do not want me to lie where I am and perish, you must carry me away.
Oh, what? This fox, mate.
The wolf herself was only able to go away slowly. Because she's been burnt.
Yeah.
But she was in such concern about the fox that she took him on her back.
Oh, no.
And slowly carried him perfectly safe and sound to her house.
Oh, this fox has got some explaining to do. This is awful.
Then the fox cried to her, Farewell, dear cousin. May the roasting you have had do you good. Laughed heartily and bounded off. The end.
What? That's the end?
That's the end.
You're kidding.
No. That's the end. Deal with it. The wolf was badly hurt and burnt and carried the fox on her
carried
back.
Carried the fox, which is fine. It's all the fox's fault in the beginning.
He's just got his hands behind his head.
The fox has been carried home by, like, a burn victim. He or she then has the temerity to say, let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah, laughing heartily.
What a piece of work.
I know. Farewell, dear cousin. May the roasting you've had do you good. And bounded off.
Right.
Wow.
I'm trying to think... Out of all the stories we've read, has there been a more detestable cat? That is horrendous. What a nasty fox.
I think the father who chopped off his daughter's hands is pretty bad.
That's pretty bad.
Mm. Well, okay.
How is that the end?
Well, that might well be the end because that is one story. in what I'm calling the Fox Quadrilogy.
What? Is that the first installment?
No.
What? Oh, no. We're watching it out of order.
So, there are four stories. One is called The Wolf and the Man. The next is called The Wolf and the Fox. Then The Fox and His Cousin. So, oh, it's the third one.
Yeah.
And then finally, The Fox and the Cat. So, what you need to do is think of this. Think as if, like, your friend's watching a box set. And you've just, like, walked in while they're watching season three.
Yeah.
So you've just sort of, like, jumped in. So I think I was debating whether to read all of them, but I think that they're long and good enough to sort of stretch out.
Okay.
And we can dip into them whenever you choose.
Wow.
So that was a sort of, yeah, that was series three of four.
So it goes the Wolf and the Man.
Yeah.
At this point, the fox is not even a character.
No.
Then the second film... The fox gets introduced, and it's the Fox and the Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm guessing the fox character was such a hit that they based the third film around them and the fourth. And the wolf gets sidelined very quickly.
Yeah. Wow. I'd recommend, you know, if you accidentally catch the third film or the third series, you know, after that, you are enjoying this.
Yeah.
You'd probably go back to the beginning.
You would.
Wouldn't you?
I think the next one will have to be The Wolf and the Man.
Wow. There you go. That's the fox and his cousin. He's nasty, but I tell you, I quite like him.
No,
I like.
Why
this.
Do you like him? He's an abomination.
I like the character.
Okay.
He's a slippery trickster.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, I thought he's the opposite of the fairy tale hero. So the fairy tale hero is usually up against the odds. It's like a poor boy or girl, yeah, up against the odds, and uses sort of their brains to outwit their opponents and win.
Yeah.
This is like the inverse of that. So he's like the bad guy, but he uses his cunning and brains
to come out on top,
to like to hurt the good guy, yeah, if you will.
Which he was a good guy. The wolf was like so caring.
The wolf invited him to be godfather.
Yeah.
I mean, nasty business, really.
Really nasty.
And he didn't even get anything out of this except a lift home. But he didn't even need to go there in the first place.
No. What is he playing at? Just toying with them.
Oh, nasty. So, this story is not from Hanau, like most of them are.
Uh-huh.
This story is from German Bohemia.
Oh, a little Bohemian story.
I believe related in Wendish. But in my head, Wendish is like Belgian.
Wendish.
I don't know. But the Brothers Grimm say in their notes... I'm loving the Brothers Grimm notes.
Oh, I love it.
They say, as a quote, "It is related with lively circumstantiality by Haltrick from Transylvania. He calls it the central point of all the stories of the fox and the wolf." So,
oh, okay.
Haltrick has said, this is the quintessential fox and wolf story.
With great circumstantiality.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic word.
It was great, his circumstantiality.
Yeah. Quality circumstantiality, yeah.
So as this is the first sort of look at the fox, and we'll be meeting him again in the rest of the quadrilogy.
And we're doing it out of order.
We're doing it out of order. I don't really want to go into too much detail now. However, I'll just give you a little tasty morsel that I found.
Oh, I hope it's liked. Chicken.
So the fox, as a cunning trickster fellow,
yep,
can be found as far back as Aesop's Fables.
Yay!
Around 600 BC.
Love them.
So he already had those kind of associations back then.
Yeah.
And that carries on through to the Middle Ages in Europe, but it morphs into something more substantial. Namely, the fox is given a name, and it's someone we've met before. Reynard!
Reynard!
Do you remember Reynard?
My old buddy from the well!
Yes, so yay, we met Reynard in the Extra Grimm episode where we read, I think it's called The Fox and the Wolf in the Well, which is from the Wolf Drinks Water to Get Cheese,
yes,
category.
Oh, I was going to say it's called that, but it's not, is it? That's the Arne Thompson Uther type.
Exactly, yeah. Right. In the story, I can't remember the name of it, but yeah, it was under that type.
Yeah,
and
everybody loves Reynard.
In that story, he says something like, and said Reynard.
Yeah, like, just threw it away. Didn't introduce him at the beginning of the story like that.
Yeah.
You have to put two and two together.
However, Reynard is real. Reynard is real.
What do you mean he's real?
He's a medieval creation which comes from Lorraine or Lorrain folklore, the region of France.
Okay.
And first appears officially in a Latin verse from the 12th century, a poem by Nivardus, who I think was from Ghent. And basically, it's a poem which is a story of a sort of anthropomorphized royal court where the lion is a king.
Okay.
And the fox is this trickster called Reynard, who sort of gets his way into the court. And
cheeky Reynard.
This story, this poem, sort of spreads around Germany and France, and it eventually makes its way to England in 1250, inspiring Geoffrey Chaucer's Wicked Fox in The Nun's Priest's Tale.
So the Nun's Priest's...
The Nun's Priest's Tale.
The tale belongs to the priest who belongs to the nun.
I don't even want to go into Chaucer. Please.
We draw the line somewhere.
There's Reynard. Reynard is a real.
Reynard
is the name of the fox. And in fact, it's so influential that the word fox in French is Renard.
No.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
I kid you not. So
that's amazing.
I was very happy
that's
to find
fantastic.
That out. Just wanted to give you the little lowdown on the fox there. Particularly Reynard.
Reynard.
Very happy to meet Reynard.
He's a tricky character, isn't he?
He is. So basically, Jean de La Fontaine didn't just make up a name randomly.
That makes sense.
Well, don't say we don't learn things on Grim Reading.
I would never say that. They are quite cool animals, aren't they?
I like it when I see a fox in the street.
Do
Although
you?
Recently they've been getting quite bold, because at one point I had to cross the road to avoid a fox because he wouldn't move. Normally they run away when they see you. He's like, I'm not.
A standoff. I ain't moving, mate.
It's like, listen, things are changing around here. But well, I do like them. They're quite interesting.
Well, I know someone that feeds the fox peanut butter sandwiches.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Is that good for them?
I don't know.
They would obviously like it.
Love it. I mean, if it's crunchy and not smooth, they'll just leave it. Like, I'm not having that, mate.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
What rating do you think you could give this? I know it's a difficult one because it's sort of...
I genuinely thought you were joking when you said that was the end.
It's a kind of little fable in a way. In a way, this is like an extended fable because there's not really a message there or a moral or something.
There's no message. It's like Fox does bad thing. The end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm completely at a loss.
Yeah.
Because how do you even compare something like that to The Story of the Youth or Knapsack or Six Men or something like that? Like it.
I suppose it's more in the vein. It has a sort of fabulic quality. Fable.
Fable. Fabulic.
Fable.
I hear lots of things are fabulic. Blooming skyscrapers. Fabulic.
So... it's probably more in the vein of The Mouse, Bird and the Sausage or The Wolf and the Seven Kids. However, I tell you what we could do.
Yeah.
Because I feel you're worried because you don't know this character enough. You don't know this story enough. So we could give each one a score and then we can average it out when we've heard all four. So the four get one score.
Okay, that's
if that
fair.
Makes you feel more comfortable.
Okay, that's true actually. This is part three of a four-part thrilling saga.
Mm.
So it's not fair to judge it in isolation, is it? So,
yeah.
Five?
Five, okay. I'm going to give it a... Just because, for me, it's awful when he's sitting on her back and she's crawling,
dragging herself, burn victim.
In my head, he's got his, like, his hands behind his head and he's
yeah,
just like...
he's just loving it.
So, I mean, it's a horrible image, but it's something so... It evokes a reaction from me.
Yeah, big time.
I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Okay, that's quite high.
Yeah. I liked it, and I like Reynard.
Yeah, Reynard is...
He's not actually called Reynard in the story.
No, he's not, but clear. I assume he is Reynard.
Oh, yeah.
I'd know that cheeky fox anyway. Wait, where's the cub in all this?
Oh, he's not involved.
They just left him alone?
Well, it's the poor mum went out to get some food for the cub, because he said you need to make sure the cub's well-fed and nice and strong.
But... the cub's in danger, surely. Or is that part four?
Well, that would be telling.
Raider to the rescue! That would be a twist.
It would, like the redemption of Reynard.
Yes! I love a good redemption story.
It's like Darth Vader.
All right, well, next week we've got The Pink.
The Pink! I'm so excited. It's coming. I'm expecting, like, a science fiction epic.
Well, you might be a little disappointed.
I might be a bit
there.
Disappointed. The Pink. Can't All wait right, for well, that.
See you then.
See you.
Bye.
Bye. You can email us at grimreadingpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at grimreadingpod, also on Instagram and Facebook, grimreading. You can find us on Podbean, podbean.com/grimreading, and we also have a website, grimreading.wordpress.com. Keep it grim.